the hardest thing then for you, from everything I've heard, finding somebody to walk with in this? Is that the hardest thing, or knowing what it is, or what?
I think it's both, to be honest. I think it's both. It's like, so what is it? And because I need to give that, I mean, I had to give that little boy inside me a voice to speak, because he's drowned out by all the ifs and oughts and noughts and, you know, all those other voices, you know, that said, and I'm going, you need to, Tom, you've helped people with this. And what is, and what he's saying is, saying, well, I don't want to do all that stuff. I love going out. Like, I met with a policeman the other day, and his marriage fell apart, and I spent 2 hours with him. Gary, I was fully alive there, exactly how to help him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And got him to not to go back in his marriage away, but to go see a therapist, you know, and process some of this stuff. And I felt alive, you know. It's that, in that context. And I feel alive when I'm working with a group of guys doing events like it. But guys are just, well, you know, I'm not too busy. I don't want to do that. It's not a passion for them. So it's finding where I fit now, I guess.
Right. So with the story you told me about meeting with this policeman, and at the end you said you need to get with the therapist for a while and work this through, would you want to be the therapist?
No, I mean, you know what? I remember the statement you made. You know, I love to teach, but I couldn't be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm the guy who goes and does the crisis stuff. We got people coming to us in crisis, whether it's on a weekend or whether it's, you know, just people popping up on the screen. But, and I get them grounded and get them to identify their core issues, what's going on, and now you need to go and get into it. Now, I'll be available. You want to call me from time to time and let me know how you're doing, and I'll kind of coach you through that, you know. But I need you to plug in. I can't take care of everybody, and I can't, and I don't see myself setting up a private practice again. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. So I don't know if that's of any help. But
well, I think it is. So in other words, you know, putting this kind of in the medical field, you want to be the ER doctor, right? Not the general practitioner, not the specialist. Right.
Yeah.
So are you trying? You can. They come in. You assess what's happened, and then you say, "Well, you need to see a internal medicine guy or a specialist with the liver." Or I mean, is that what you're describing to me?
Well, it is. Well, I do. Russ Grimsey put it best when I was on that pilot. You know, the first pilot you did down there, and he just turned up when we're summarizing. He says, "Tom, you're the guys in MASH. You're not the guy on the field who's putting the patch on the guy. They bring the guy into the tent. You do open heart surgery on him. If you don't do it, he dies. That's you, Tom." And I had that spoken to me a few times, you know, going, okay.
Uh-huh.
So that was huge. And the other part, it was, you know, of course, the name that I got was, when I went to God, was David, you know, you're my David. So there's a lot in there. But the other part I did, like, I love doing stuff. Like, I'm like you. I love helping guys take a full swing. That's why I love putting those weekends together and giving you a chance to come up and do the whole thing, you know. And we started, I mean, you did the intensive, and I said, Gary, I need to back it up. I don't know if you remember that. We started doing just a teaching calling, you know.
Right.
Because our guys weren't ready for the intensive yet. They needed a primer to get them to that place.
Mm-hmm.
So I love doing that, you know. I love organizing those things, but and trying to do the events. But I sure have a hard time getting guys who just want to stay plugged in, and even the small groups. Like, it just I know it's needed, and I share that with them. And so I'm just going, you know, wow. It's just, did I pick the wrong people? You know, am I picking people who are, you know, weren't safe, or people who were just it wasn't their vision, and I try to make it their vision. I'm questioning myself too. You know, so.
Well, and that's always hard to tell. I mean, it is for everyone.
Yeah.
to you see this passion, this enthusiasm, and you don't know, you know,
yeah,
either one, how core that really is versus momentary, and then the second thing is, life happens and things change and there's a journey, and so we lose those guys. And so, I mean,
yeah.
I know. Okay, so let me ask you, if you had, I mean, if all of a sudden you had, you know, 30 guys who are contacting you saying, Tom, I'd love to do something with you. You let me know, I'm in, I'm looking for some way to change the world. Okay, so you got these guys, and now you have your pick. You need to, you know, you really want to find two or three guys to really walk closely with. And you have to figure out, what are the kind of guys I need? What do I need so I can figure out which guys I'm going to pull into my inner circle, into this? What would those guys, what's the need you would be looking for? What kind of guys would you be looking for?
Well, one is the technical guy. I'm like technically challenged, eh? So, I mean, I like when you said Skype, okay, I got to go learn how to use Skype. I really do got to learn how to use this. My kids are using it now. So, I mean, I don't want to use age for an excuse. It's just that I haven't been introduced to a lot of this. I didn't grow up with it. I'm just, you know, and you probably didn't either, but you're
right.
More technically advanced, and you seem to, I don't know if you put together your website, but you did a great job if you did.
No,
so
I had somebody do that for me. That good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I need somebody who would, Mike, God bless him, but, you know, he hasn't posted anything for a couple of months. I'm going, Mike, can't do that, you know, the site's dead, you know, no wonder nobody's responding, you know. So, he's just so involved, and he's involved in the church, and so that's not working. So I need somebody who would embrace it. We've tried a couple of guys, sent one guy down to a boot camp in Colorado, came back, he opened a business, said I can't do it anymore. You know, like, so I'm been running into a lot of walls. So one is somebody who we get to know and walk with and does that part of it. And the other part is some guys who really want to help in the organizational stuff, do the administrative stuff. I got an accountant. I don't know if you remember Sean Ashley. You probably met him a couple of times. But Sean is an accountant. He's good, and he would take care of all that sort of thing. So I think I just have to let go. I don't know. That's what I'm feeling anyway. I'm not sure I'm helping you.
No, you are. I mean, this is all, yeah. Well, a couple things, like with me, right? In many ways, I'm pretty much alone in what I'm doing. You know, I have to do everything, and so that's why some things don't get done and aren't done well. And partly, I think, it's just the way life works in this world. You know, we work hard, we start small. We're not the kind that, you know, can throw a $10,000 at something to make it happen big right off or whatever. We're just not of that category. And so, so that's the way kind of life works for most of us. And I've learned a few secrets that help me get things done easily that don't cost much money, but really do help, which I can, you know, share with you in terms of what you're talking about. But I'll tell you, here's what strikes me, Tom, is, you know, you talked about that Jesuit priest, and you said, you know, they spend a lot of time with God, and when they're with you, they don't say a lot. They ask questions and listen, but, you know, when they speak, you listen.
Exactly.
Because of all of that. And I just thought, I mean, just what struck my heart is this is really you. And this is your place in the kingdom right now, I believe. You
mm-hmm.
know, the kind of guy that guys want to come to, because that's their thought of you. Here's Tom. He's walked with God for a long time, and he's going to listen. And when he speaks, I'm listening. I think that. And that describes, in many ways, what you do already, that you've been describing as kind of the guy in the MASH tent in the mobile hospital there. You know, and the other thing, yeah, I mean, guys desperately need this. And I think what's hard for most men, for most people, is that the jump from the crisis to the therapist, counselor, whatever, that's a huge
mm-hmm.
jump for them. But they need someone in
yeah.
between. And that's why I think most people don't do that, because they don't have someone that helps them get there. And
sure.
they don't even know where there is anyway. They don't know what their need is. And you're the kind of guy that can say, do you know what's really going on here? Do you know, this is where you need to go for help. I just think that's a huge gap for most people. And you've been doing that for a long time.
Right.
So really needed, really needed.
Mm-hmm.
I also remember, and you're telling me again, and I remember past conversations, you're just saying, I love to create, I mean, these are my words, I don't think they were yours, but to create an environment. And I have been struck for the past couple months, and I don't even know why, but I've just been pondering that about how important environment is.
Yes.
You know, because you can have a great message, you can have an answer,
yep.
You can have the right questions, but if you don't create the environment for that to work, it just doesn't work. You know,
right.
A man doesn't feel safe, a man isn't to the point where he does want to think about his life, a man isn't in a place where he can think about his life. I mean, it goes on and on. Environment, I'm realizing, is huge. And that's what the retreats are about. They're about creating an environment to step out of one environment into another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what, I believe that's what you do when you meet with a person. You create an environment where now they can stop and look down and say, gosh, I'm bleeding down here. I've never looked down there before, you know. Right,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's real obvious to the trained eye, but yours just isn't. And you need to say to that man. So I do think that's a big part of what you do. And the last thing I'm struck with is, as you're describing this, and I'm not good with dealing with this myself, but I just know that most men are looking to be invited up to the plate to take a swing. They've never been invited to do that. No one has ever said, you can do this. Here, grab the bat, take a swing. Most of the time it's sit in the pew and I'll tell you when I need something from you. And then when we're done, you sit back in the pew again. All you're here for is to support my vision, my dream, my calling.
Right.
And men are begging for another man to ask them to step into something, to take a swing. Now, you've been doing that, and so now you've got these guys who, you know, life has either taken them into another direction or has totally distracted them. I mean, I don't know their stories.
Right.
But there certainly have to be other men out there who are just looking for someone to ask them or give them those eyes of, you want to turn? And they'd be on it, you know? And that's
right.
What you do. That's what you do as a sage, as that kind of Jesuit priest kind of guy.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, one thing that intrigued me, I see you got a weekend coming up in, I think it's October in the Carolinas?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I get their emails. I'm not on their our site's not on their site, but I get their emails, and I've been supporting them in terms of praying for them and that. But they have the barn. Boy, was I intrigued by that, the barn. Tuesday night at the barn. So I run that by a guy at breakfast this morning and said, you got a barn. Why don't you think about something? It's something about going out to the barn.
Right.
And I thought, environment. I'm thinking environment again, you know, like, okay.
Yep.
And we do a little trap shooting. We do a little bit of, you know, some campfires. We do some stuff for the kids, you know. Anyway, I just thought that was intriguing when I saw their website. I thought, wow, you guys that's really cool, you know. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of avoiding the obvious that it's almost like God saying, Tom, I need you to let go of everything. Sort of like, you know, when the Desert Fathers went out, okay, I got to declutter myself again and just say, okay, I need to let go of this. And I know it takes time, and I've let go of the church thing. Now I'm just wondering if I need to let go of the Topaz. I think I have to let go of the district thing, although I got a good boss. I just feeling I've got to find that thing that God made me for. I know if I can do that with all this other stuff going on. So
right.
Anyway, that's
well,
kind of.
Yeah, I do think this declutter idea, I really like that word, is probably true. And I think, you know, if there is a way that, if what you're doing for the district is one, if you know it is pretty much the glory, the weightiness, the brilliance of your life, what you're doing, that's a factor. Number two is it pays you. But if you can do that in a way where it doesn't encumber the other things on your heart to do, that would be great. Now, it may be you know, this is the way it works, and when it works that way, it completely changes you, you know, down to a place or a task, and you're not free, which you need to be. I mean, how flexible can you be in that job, in that work?
Well, I think there's an opportunity to speak to that in the coming weeks, meeting with the superintendent, and say, you know what, here's what I love doing, but here's what I don't want to do. And I need you to find somebody to do that part. It may be a reduction in my time, which is okay. So I think I'm going to have that conversation.
It's the whole administrative side you were bringing up earlier, right, that you'd like to let go of.
Well, yeah, it's just time-consuming, and I really can't get at the things I want to do, which is really get to these hurting pastors, you know. Sort of like I'm bogged down. I'm like the police officer or the nurse who's in the hospital filling out papers, and she can't actually do nursing, you know. She's
right.
constantly filling out reports, you know.
Yep.
People screaming for help. She says, I can't. I got to finish this report, you know. Anyway, I faced the same thing when I was on the police department. I thought, what am I doing? I spend more time sitting at the side of the road writing my daily log and having to be accountable for every 10 minutes, you know. Like, I'm not patrolling. I'm not catching bad guys. I'm not rescuing people, you know. So
right. Same
thing drove me crazy there. So anyway, enough about me. I appreciate you letting me throw that out to you, because I know, and I can tell you, honestly say that your book really, really helped me to begin to really think about that. And I think I'm not taking a full swing myself. I'm always saying, oh, well, I need this other guy to take the swing. And yet I love putting together things like we did in Michigan, the things we did up in Mineoe with you, and I love doing that. And I love having guys around me that are excited about that, but I can't seem to get guys who want to stick to that, you know. So
right.
That's one of the challenges. Meet people.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it may be, and no, we're not talking too long about you, so don't feel that pressure to shift. You know, it may be that it's just time for another team. Or maybe that's the way it should work. Maybe your team should kind of rotate out and in, because it gives other men some training. It gives them the ability to walk alongside of you. I mean, I don't know. And then on the other hand, it could be it's not supposed to work this way, but it does because, you know, spiritual attacks or distractions, or I mean, I don't know. But I do know there are so many men that would like to be invited up to take a swing that maybe that's why this is part of this, is there's room for other men to come in now and certain men to go out for whatever reason. And, you know, there are guys that they're just tech guys. This is what they love. They don't want to do anything else. This is the world they live in and they love. It's the glory of their life. And if it's, you know, if it's not, if you're not demanding a lot in time from them, they may go, this is ideal, because right now I'm stuck writing code for, I don't know, you know, something boring to them, and they'd love to be involved in something like this. Now, I know the same thing, Tom. I mean, again, I say all this, but I have a hard time inviting people in to take kind of roles in all of this. So I do understand it. I'm not saying it's simple, because I struggle with this too. Have you watched the movie The King's Speech?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As you were talking earlier, I was just struck by this idea. I mean, what's so powerful about the movie is, you know, the character, the counselor's name, I forgot his name in the movie.
He played in Jean Valjean. He was the inspector, right? Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yes. You know, he...
Yeah, you know, I can't think of his name now either, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was just... What a phenomenal character, the man who... literally helps people get their voice back, because they do try to speak, but they can't speak well, and so therefore they're, you know, the message of their life never gets out. And so, you know, obviously he has this ingenious way of doing this, of knowing the heart of a person, not just the skills taught on how to stop a person from stuttering. And, of course, he learned by experience. I mean, that was the point. He learned by doing it with people, not going to school for it. And then, of course, you know, so what a powerful role that is, and I think that's much of what you bring. You help people find their voice and step into their role, their calling in life. And then on the other hand, there's the other side of the story. I think why it's such a powerful movie is you have Birdie. I mean, you have the king,
yeah,
who has a powerful place in life, and it's, and he struggles with it, but the other guy helps him walk into it, and out of deep friendship, you know, not out of a formal counselor relationship, but out of friendship. So I was just struck that that seems to be an accurate picture of your life.
Yeah, thank you. I was deeply moved by that movie. I actually saw it twice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I actually saw it 4 times at the movie theater with my wife.
Okay.
And then we got the movie, and we've seen it several times since then as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's good, Gary. That's very perceptive, very helpful. I know I need to sit in this stuff, and this is the first time, like, I've been working out of my house, and I've got to get into routine, too, and I find that a little challenging, having to shift and do that, and I got to figure a way of getting that routine going better. And I realize I've let too many other things in, and not taking care of my own heart. So
yeah,
I'm really trying to just say, okay, Tom, it's time to take care of your own heart. Just, you know, you don't have to go see everybody. Maybe some of those people should come and see you. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, not to be selfish, but to say, I really need that. I met a great old sage up in Bracebridge, Ontario. My wife went and I seen it because I was having a hard time grieving the loss of my brother. And I thought, I'm locked down and I need to talk to somebody. This guy, we went to see him. He's put together a great program. He's got all these CDs and DVDs. He travels around the world, and he's just a really unassuming but really, really gifted man. He's called Christ-Centered Inner Healing. But he would be just a tremendous. Anyway, long story short, I make an appointment to see him. He says, sure, we'll come in. And he goes right to it. He says, Tom, I want you to tell me the one thing that you want to work on today. What is it? What is your main concern today? And he just nailed it right down. And I said, right now, I'm not grieving my brother. It's okay. And he just, within 20 minutes, took me right to where I needed to go. It has me weeping. And I'm breaking out. And I'm going, wow. And he prayed. He invited Christ into all of this. And then I said, well, now Pat would like to see you too. He says, okay, well, I've got a Rotary meeting, but I'm going to, you guys go get some lunch, and I'll see you at 1 o'clock, and I can give her an hour, and then I've got to go. And you know, very clear boundaries, you know. I thought, here's a guy taking care. He went and worked out in the morning. He said, I can't see you until 9. You can stay at our house overnight. We've got a little unit on the side. But really clear boundaries where he was taking care of himself. I thought, how good that was. See this man taking care of himself, but yet making room, you know, for my wife and I, you know. And I thought, there's been too much of me not taking care of me, or not maybe not taking care of us, meaning my wife and I, because I'm out there doing a lot of good stuff. And then I had to question myself, why am I doing that too? So that's
right.
That's kind of the journey, that whole journey. So,
well, those are two very powerful ideas. This one, this experience you had with this man, and
yep.
And not only did it help you with the grieving the loss of your brother, but it also sounds like it helped you look at your own life in general, like you're talking about setting boundaries,
yep,
taking care of your heart, your wife's heart, and others. And
mm-hmm.
And then the other idea of the barn, I'm fascinated you brought that up. And, you know, the fun thing about the barn thing is it Kevin Kastner? Is that his name, the guy who's in charge? Anyway.
I think so.
Yeah, he doesn't own this place. Another guy has the barn. It's this other guy's place. And he went to him and said, hey, how would you like to use this place for ministry? He said, I got some ideas. And so I think it is that safe environment, that place where guys come all the time, and they know when they're there, they're safe. They walk in, and they get to that place in their heart very quickly because their heart knows this is a safe place. They've been there enough. It's been there for so long that it doesn't take a lot of warm-up from what I hear. They just know, I've just walked into a true sanctuary, a true safe place, you know. So
that's
I think pursuing that, and you know, a lot of guys are going, man, I sure would love to see this used more powerfully and more often for the kingdom.
Right.
So I'm intrigued by those two things with you, and I'm really glad that you did stop and take care of your heart by saying, "Hey, Gary, can we talk?" Because here's what I find is it's real easy to, you know, help people. But at some point, they're going to turn around and say, well, what do you do for your heart? And if,
yeah.
if we say nothing, it's like, you are such a hypocrite. You know, you help me, but really, you don't need anybody? You never ask? No one has?
Yeah.
And I know I have to be careful with that with me and go, man, how many times have I reached out to say, can we talk? Because I need perspective. I don't know what to do with this. I feel locked up, like you said. And so I'm really glad you did this.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for, knowing your heart, I knew you would. And I also wanted to be sensitive. I know you're really you're on your own and you're trying to get a lot of stuff done probably by yourself. So I really wanted to be sensitive of your time, too. So